Welcome to the Classic Rock Canon Podcast. I'm Mike Samanak, here with
Isidore,
Bill Elberg,
Tom Haller.
And this is the internet's only freewheeling roundtable discussion determined to define the definitive canon of classic rock songs. Our job, with the help of you, the listeners, to create the ultimate, unassailable, undeniable list of the top 500 most important, influential, and incomparable classic rock songs. A list that can be carved in stone, launched into space, and buried in time capsules for future generations to stare at in awe and say,
"Hey, bud, let's party!"
How will we do it? We have scientifically chosen, totally at random, a list of 500 most requested songs from a major American classic rock station. And each week we will explore one band's entries on the list and dissect what the listeners got right, what they got wrong, what's missing, and what has no business being there. We'll make arguments for songs to be cut, songs to be added, and songs to be moved up and down.
But it isn't easy. We not only have to convince each other that our changes are correct, but we have to convince you, the listener. We want you to sound off on our website, tell us what we got right, what we got wrong, call us names, or offer to buy us beer. You can even call us names and buy us beer, which honestly would totally make the names thing okay.
Who are we to make such consequential decisions? We're lifetime passionate fans of this music. And more importantly, we're the people who had the idea for this podcast and actually got off their asses to do it. So let's get into it.
Welcome back to the Classic Rock Canon Podcast. I'm Mike Samanak.
Tom Halloran.
Isidore.
And Lori Elberg.
Lori Elberg, insert record scratch sound effect here. Lori is taking over for Bill, her husband, tonight because Lori is our resident Kinks expert. And tonight we are talking about the Kinks, the most underrated rock band possibly of all time. It's been a while since we've recorded an episode due to the holiday season and various work obligations, but I honestly, a lot has happened in the rock and roll world, and none of it has been good. Started about 2 months ago when Scott Weiland of STP died of a drug overdose, followed shortly thereafter by Lemmy Kilminster of Motorhead fame, passing away at age 70, although you got to admit, Lemmy making it to 70, he squeezed 140 years out of that 70. Yeah, we have some kind of interesting paths crossing with Lemmy. We used to, when Tom and I were in the Misprints, we'd always go to the Rainbow Bar and Grill before we'd play the Whiskey or the Cat Club or the Key Club, and play the Run 21 machine, which was Lemmy's
that was
jam.
His, which there's a monument, like a...
They turned it off and put
it
to
turned
the
it
side.
Off. It's now just forever going to be off with all
the
Lemmy's
the photographs. Yeah. But there's a very funny story that Tom has when he went in there one time and played the machine.
Oh, well, I'd had the same machine at the bar that I was working at, and every break I'd go. So I'd gotten very good at it. So we went, and I went up there, and I jumped on the machine, and I put the thing on. And what do you know? I got the high score. And then I looked in the board, and it was Tom Halloran, number one. And numbers 2 through 10, Lemmy. And I said, damn, I think I just ruined Lemmy's week. He's going to have to work so hard to get me off this board.
But I don't think you have to be, a lot of people don't know Motorhead beyond Ace of Spades. And I think that's okay. I don't think you have to know, have an encyclopedic knowledge of his work to know that he was an actual, honest-to-God rock and roll icon.
Yep.
I mean, you could do a silhouette of that man screaming up into that microphone that he always had elevated above his face with his bass on, and you would know it's him. You don't have to see anything except the silhouette. And there's something so beautiful about the way he lived his life with no apologies and no regrets and just balls to the wall the entire time. And then a bit more devastating to all of us was the passing just a week ago of David Bowie, who meant so much to so many people. Isidore... very, very moved by this, the passing of this icon. And I don't know if you want to say anything or...
I don't think I can. I have a lot to say, but I can't find the words right now. I feel that since I can remember being alive, that he influenced me a great deal in, as a woman, as an artist, just as a person, like finding their way into the world. And I followed him through my whole life, and I thank him for all that he did for me and probably hundreds, thousands of people out there in the world. And he will be greatly missed, and he's just his own thing. Nobody will ever be like him.
Yeah. There are very, very few people who come along who inspire so many people to tap into their inner uniqueness and their inner originality and embrace it rather than hide it. It's so easy for people to go through life not appreciating their own creativity and originality, and he was a living celebration of that, and I think that's why so
and
many
an
people
artist
are so
till the end.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then Just today, as we're going to record this, Glenn Frey of the Eagles passed away at 67 from an intestinal situation. As I've said on the podcast in the past, I am a huge fan of the Eagles. I'm a country rock guy.
You like vocal harmony.
I like vocal. Who doesn't like vocal harmony? Yeah. Mm. So it has been a tough couple of weeks for the rock and roll community.
Yeah.
Big, important people who meant a lot to a lot of people have passed away, and what can you say? We're just fans.
Yep.
We're fans who, various reasons, have chosen paths in life based on these people's work, and that's the highest honor we can pay to any of them, is that we are different people because of them.
And don't let anybody give you shit about getting and being in real mourning for the artist who you love.
I hate the mourning scolds. Yeah. That's the worst.
Oh, yeah.
But
I mean, when with Bowie passing, I can't remember a celebrity passing that upset me that much. And it was kind of interesting to see, the Facebook feed.
It was all Bowie.
It was all Bowie. And it was like, it was one of those things that, like, when you're younger and you're trying to figure out your identity, like, the music you listen to defines who you are or who you want to be.
Yes.
And it's funny to see that commonality with your friends that you have as an adult, that this person meant that much to you.
It's interesting.
And it's interesting to see. And, the Eagles might not have been, my favorite band, but they're something that's always kind of been in the background. There isn't a day that goes by that you don't hear a song by them, and they have such a vast catalog, and it's such a kind of a soundtrack, when you, especially if you grow up as a classic rock fan like I did.
With all that in mind, we'd like to continue our celebration of music and rock and roll and why this is important to us and why we hope this is important to you.
Rock on.
Rock on.
Episode 6, The Kinks.
Let's just start off by saying that on this list of 500 classic rock songs that were chosen by the listeners,
there's got to be like 15 Kinks songs, right, Mike?
The Kinks must have at least 15
you,
songs.
You would think.
You'd think. If you have ever checked out the list of 500 songs that we're working off of, which you can find at classicrockcanon.wordpress.com, you would know that there is only one Kinks song out of 500 songs called in by request. That is ridiculous. It is, just incidentally, so Lola, which is a great song.
Great song.
At 335 out of 500. You want to get that, Tom?
Silence your phone.
Folks, if you're listening, you don't have to silence your phone. But those of us that are recording the podcast probably should. So let's dig right into this. What we decided to lay down some ground rules because we're all enormous Kinks fans. And if you're not, get with the ball game. We're going to keep this to 10 Kinks songs. 10 Kinks songs.
Which is going to be hard.
Which is going to be hard because the instinct is to go for more. But Van Halen has 14.
Yeah.
The Rolling Stones have, I think, 15. And Pink Floyd has 15. So 10, I think, is a reasonable amount to limit ourselves to. But the interesting part of this podcast that we haven't had to do in the past is we have to find space.
Ooh.
Thank you, ominous musical sting man. 10 songs to cut to replace with Kinks songs. Just a reminder, you can always reach us at Rock Cannon Pod on Twitter. At Twitter.
Oh my god.
There is Twitter was the easy part of that.
Twitter was the easy part. It's only the second most popular social media platform of all time after MySpace. At Rock Cannon Pod. Rock, CANON Pod. And we will respond to you unless we forget to check it, which we frequently do. We're now digging into the Kinks.
Reminders.
Tom, why don't you, as you always do, read us the list of Kinks songs that are on the 500.
Coming in at number
335,
Lola. And that's it. That's all we got for you, Mike.
How did this happen?
Damn shame.
This is
a good song.
Yeah. It's
Who wants to run us through the history of the Kinks? Lori, since you're here? Isidore?
Okay. They were formed in 1963 by two brothers, Ray and Dave Davies, who did not get along.
No, what I love about these guys is they were the precursor to Oasis, who is probably more well-known than people for fighting on stage. Or Jesus and Mary Chain, who also like to fight on stage. But earlier about how the Kink... I'm sorry that we were talking before we were recording, folks. That's rude to you, the listener, and I apologize. We're talking about how I consider them the Rodney Dangerfield of rock and roll. They don't get the respect that they deserve. And Isidore brought up, and Lori agreed as well, and Tom also nodded his head knowingly.
Because as I'm doing now.
He's nodding his head. Yes, this is, there is no visual
audio
component.
Audio only, Tom.
That the Kinks were a time banned in the United States.
From touring, yeah.
So somebody want to give us the lowdown on what happened there?
You can do it.
Well, basically, they fought like monsters on stage, and then the band in turn fought with the two brothers. They couldn't stand them on stage. And through all this fighting and all that stuff, the promoters started to get angry. The promoters reported them to the American Federation of Musicians, where they just pretty much said you can't come into the U.S. from the year 1965 through 1969.
Which is when they were making their best albums.
Which was at the height of the British invasion.
Yeah.
And they were making some of their best material.
And it's funny that they were banned, because you certainly think of like other bands
like
as more
the Rolling
like
Stones.
The Rolling Stones would have been a bad boy kind of band.
It's the number of problematic people, but the really the biggest problem was, at least according to what I've read, is that they had like three or four different managers, but none of them were basically with them at the time when they were in the U.S. Like the one of them left to go on tour with Sonny and Cher, the one that was supposed to be with them, like left them in the East Coast, and then basically so they were touring America as 19, 20 year old kids with no management,
right?
And my theory is that they probably got into a fight with the wrong person, like some kind of union person or something.
Their last fight ended in, I believe it was Averoy, the drummer. He ended up in jail, and I believe it was Dave Davies ended up in the hospital.
Was this in the States or
in
the UK?
In the States.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
So they weren't good boys.
But they won't really say for sure.
Yeah,
they throw up hypotheticals like the promoters were angry because
there's no YouTube back then, so you're not gonna be able to look these videos up.
But I mean, they blame it on them being assholes
on
stage.
They got banned during what was could have arguably cemented their legacy. It's the whole time when the Beatles were playing live shows.
Right.
And like the whole Beatles legacy, I mean, Beatles geniuses, we all agree. Amazing.
Right.
If you don't agree, please hit Tom. It is personal
email
account.
Please. And then I will scold you. But the Beatles, a lot of what made them was touring and having girls going crazy and establishing their reputation for who they
being
were.
Being on television, certainly.
And being on television, being on the Ed Sullivan Show from, that era.
Wow, I never thought about that. Is there a Kinks television performance
in the U.S.? There's a You Really Got Me
and
All Day and All the Night, I think, are both on there. And they're... And they just look so funny because they dress them up in really like nice suits, like how the Beatles were in suits. And there's like that whole British invasion look. And meanwhile, they've got that crazy distorted before anyone else was doing distorted guitar sound. You got Ray Davies with his like growly voice, but he's doing a little smile. He's dobbing his head back and forth like the Beatles.
And at that time period, you just had to be British and just a band. And like, there was you watch up old episodes of the Flintstones and the Knickerbockers are on there. Like, any band where it's
that's
like,
funny.
Well,
I'm four lads.
I'm a
bigger
fan of the Way Outs, but I don't know if they were British.
No, I don't even know if the Knickerbockers are British, but they were like that kind
of band. Yeah,
I don't know
that
England existed in that period of Jurassic.
Right. Herman's Hermits, they were on television. And, like, I feel like they had a Saturday morning.
Yeah, the Kinks definitely could have expanded their brand, to use modern terms.
And just to break down their career, I'm not going to say it breaks into three stages because that would be oversimplifying, but you had the early stages where they started off as doing the same thing that the Beatles and the Stones were doing, which was doing American R&B and blues and rock standards. They did a lot of covers. Then they had a breakout around their fourth album where they started doing more Baroque, more what we call Britpop now, much more orchestrated. Ray Davies has always had this fascination with olden days, and you heard songs like
The
Century Man, things like that, where it was all, Village
Green
Preservation Society,
things like that,
where it's all very kind of like, I wish it was a different thing. Mm-hmm. And then after they got through that, they had what they call their arena rock phase, which was power chords, and they really kind of delivered on the promise of the early songs like All Day and All the Night and You Really Got Me, where they came out with songs like Destroyer and Do It Again, where it was just big chords and big hooks. And I mean, they've got 24 albums. I think two went gold, which isn't their fault. They're still good albums.
Their highest charting album of all time, highest charting song of all time, is a steel drum song.
And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Can I just tell you though? I remember when that came out, and like I was a little kid, and there was something. It's a lovely song. Yeah, it's lovely. Did you just turn into my brother? No, but yeah. But it's funny, and it's also kind of they have this nostalgia about them. Like,
yes.
Like when you were talking about like the Village Green Preservation Society. Yeah. Era
picture
and like
book.
Yeah, Arthur, picture yeah. book and like I, you know, I'm certainly not British. You can tell by my accent. And, but I felt like it was something like I felt like they were talking about something I understood. Like growing up in the suburbs of New Jersey, I mean, it's not the same as the suburbs of London. But I feel like there was something just nostalgic and nice about them.
Right, and but also I mean, the suburbs in America. I as someone who's also grew up in the suburbs, I mean, there is a kind of longing for the olden days kind of concept that happens in the suburbs, you know, it's like, and that, so that I agree. You understand, you totally relate with that concept of his, a lot of his writing is, I mean, there's so much about pictures in and of itself, like photographs and like the idea of like, you know, it's saving time, you know, in a photo and you'll be able to go back to it, but you can never really go back. And it's
like the Nick at Night of music, you know.
All the way Glenn Miller
plays. So sorry, we're not doing the when we do the All in the Family podcast, I'm
you're ready for that.
There's a podcast for you to go.
Yeah.
Tee it up, knock it down. So these guys put out a lot of music, and a lot of it's not great.
From
I'm not
20,
gonna pretend like,
was it 25 years worth of making records?
Yes.
I'm not going to pretend like it's all great, but there is six really good albums in there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of really good songs. You know, like, I there's a song there called Who'll Be the Next in Line that I think is like a garage nugget classic of all time. I don't think it belongs on any lists.
Right.
But it's on a mix of mine.
They have a couple of those.
There's a bunch of those. I was just using that as an example.
I mean, they really influenced the whole Nuggets type
music.
Sure, I mean, I'm not the musician, but like they slashed the guitar amps or something.
Mm-hmm. That was
how they got that sound. Yeah.
It's still a controversy. Ray said that he used knitting needles, and Dave said that he used a razor blade, but it's like,
different stories.
We get it, guys. Yeah. You slash.
And then
but knitting needles.
Yeah, and then they fought each other.
Sounds so like knitting needles.
Knitting needles from me mom.
A little bit of knitting.
It goes with the whole nostalgia thing.
I promised I would never do a British accent on this podcast again, and I apologize.
I was the one that did it, so you can blame me.
But I mean, just. I'm just looking over the list of songs that I put out. And I mean, like, the same way where you're once like, okay, maybe this isn't on the canon, but I kind of want to talk about it because it's a great song.
You should.
Whatever. I, like, look at people take pictures of each other. And
yes.
I was like, this song is predicting Instagram. This is 100%.
What is it? That song was used in a commercial for Microsoft.
HP.
No, that was Picture Book, right? Or do they do pictures of each other as well?
No, they do Picture Book, and it's an HP ad. And that was a brilliant
commercial. Picture Book was a great commercial.
Isn't it also in Rushmore?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But people take pictures of each other on the same album, also on Village Green, is the one where it's the people take pictures of each other just to prove that they really existed.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
And their food, and their dog, and their cat. And,
yeah.
You know, their shoes on
but, I mean,
cool
it's just,
floors.
Yeah, it's just proof that, I mean, Ray Davies, lyrically, is super dense, amazing songwriter.
So listen, this whole episode was launched out of an idea that Tom floated before we were even talking about the Kinks, and I want him to would love to take credit for it, folks. This is the kind of thing I do when no one's listening, is take credit for other people's ideas. But I want Tom to throw out there exactly why we decided to move on to the Kinks today, and here he is right now.
So we were going through the list and talking about the number of covers that are on here,
covers,
too, which is interesting. And then I was saying, so Van Halen's version of You Really Got Me is on here. And I said,
106.
I'm frantically scrolling to try and figure out what the actual number is. Yeah.
You'll now hear us rifling through our papers like we're on the UN Security Council.
But at 106 was You Really Got Me. I'm like, 106, that's about right for that song because it's a great song. But why isn't it the Kinks version of You Really Got Me that's on there? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
So I said we should just straight up say, okay, 106, yep, You Really Got Me, yep, scratch out Van Halen, write in the Kinks.
And I don't disagree.
And I think, it's one of those things where you got to right the wrongs, man.
You have to look at, you know, I use this expression so often that I'm afraid I'm overusing it, but you have to look at the shadow it casts. And the shadow that the Kinks cast is so huge.
I know it was Clive Davis who basically took him on at Arista and was like, we're going to make you guys into arena rock bands like you always should have been. And he credits the song Wanna Fly Like Superman as the song that was the breakout
was
song.
It, that was a single for them. Yeah. That was a big song.
He said that was the song that had helped them catch on to radio. Which is funny to me because I'm like, it's kind of like Disco Kinks a little bit.
It is. Yeah. It's got the kind of thing going for it.
It's good song.
You know, my entry point to the Kinks really was Destroyer in 1980 or 81, whenever it came out, when I was a kid mowing lawns listening to classic rock on my earbuds, which were then called headphones, and the iPod was called a Walkman. These are just historical facts for you under 30. But I've probably talked about the lawn mowing and the classic rock so many times in this podcast, most people can recite it by heart. But that is, to me, what the Kinks sound like. It's got elements of... It references Lola.
Sure.
It's got chord changes from All Day and the Night. It's got, references to You Really Got Me.
They're a very self-referential band.
Well, you have to. 24 albums with 20 songs in each album. I mean,
is that
you
look so at, many notes?
What's the album? The Power Man, 8-Man?
Lola versus Power Man.
Which has got 400 songs.
It's the longest title ever, too. Yeah.
And they've got concept album after concept album.
My favorite song.
Which one?
Which one?
Strangers.
Okay.
Oh, that's on my list, too. Yeah.
We both, I was like, you know what song's really doing it for me?
Yeah, that's on my daughter's.
Yeah, exactly.
That's on my daughter's playlist before she does.
You know what? I think we should just get into the songs we want to add to this list because we're all itching to do it.
So. We all in agreement that You Really Got Me slides in there, and that's...
I think it belongs at 106. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think it belongs replacing the Van Halen version. Yeah. I think it, because of its influence, it belongs higher.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
I think it goes into the double digits, and I don't know where in the double digits, but I think...
God, are we reordering these two?
That's what
I
we do.
That's
crazy.
Yeah.
Lori,
that's
crazy.
It is really difficult. What we do is a lot of heavy lifting, a lot of math. I mean, you see the whiteboard with all the equations on the wall here.
It's algorithm?
Algorithm?
You say that now?
Rock out.
I see algorithm every episode.
Weird algorithm. That was really bad.
Lori, we will bring you in for the weird algorithm.
I even think we can...
We may not record it, but
we can move it to 54, you know?
What's a 54? Let me look.
Billy Idol's Rebel Yell.
Yeah.
That's really?
That's an anthem, though.
It is. But
it's an anthem, but
aren't we all right with Billy Idol?
But
being,
You Really Got Me Now is more important, I feel.
Aren't
we all right with swapping them?
I was just throwing that. Billy Idol was sitting here and said, "Yeah, Rob, put the Kinks up about me."
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. See, that's good.
I just promised I wouldn't do it, though.
But that's good.
That wasn't just an accent. That was an impression.
Yeah, that was an impression.
Yeah, right.
Right. I have a good Billy Idol story, but I have a story about Billy Idol now.
Now we have to know.
Okay, so before Bill and I moved to Los Angeles, we came to visit and we went to Vegas, and Billy Idol was playing at the House of Blues, and we're like, oh, we should go see this. And so before the show, I see this woman who's probably late 40s, looks like she's been around a little while, wearing a white wedding dress. That was an 80s poofy wedding dress and the whole veil you would see on soap actresses in the 80s. It was clearly her wedding dress and she had a big bouquet of flowers. And so we go into the concert and it's us and a bunch of suburban moms for their night out. And you see I of course am watching the woman in the wedding dress the whole time. And so he starts singing White Wedding and she's so excited and she decides to throw her bouquet, but Billy Idol was singing to the other half of the stage, and she's on the other end, and you just see her throwing this bouquet, and it lands clearly in the opposite side of the stage, and he'd never noticed it, and one of the roadies pulled it off stage, and I just kept watching this woman after, just looking all sad, she was patiently waiting for that moment.
That was probably the highlight of her evening, to see what happened.
I mean, she fully committed to it. She put
here's what you need to do. First of all, get your husband to take care of your baby.
Okay.
You and I are going to go to Las Vegas and see Billy Idol during his residency.
Okay, I have a wedding dress I could do.
He's doing 20 nights. You're coming too. We're
okay.
We'll do an episode from up there.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
On location, Idol Pod.
So Bill could rock the cradle of love while
he could rock the cradle.
Do you have a rim shot sound effect? I think I need that.
So, You Really Got Me, obviously, is the Kinks' most iconic song. I mean, Van Halen, took it as their own, but let's be honest, the credit belongs with the Kinks. There would be no Van Halen song if there were no Kinks song.
Exactly.
So that's going to go up to the double digits. What other kind of song? I mean, I could. I'm not going to monopolize the conversation. Yeah. I'm going to. I probably will though. So who wants to start with what songs they would recommend to add of the 10 that we want to eventually add here, guys, gals?
I have a lot.
Okay, so, well then start.
Okay, so Strangers.
Strangers.
Definitely.
I think we all agree on that one.
Tom, you want to give us a clip of that? Do you have it on tap?
I do.
Tom always has it on tap.
Sorry. No.
This sounds like a song that could come out today. Tomorrow.
And it doesn't sound like every other Pink song. Right. Like a lot of these bands that are on here, a lot of their songs sound the same. Like, this is completely different.
That's why I think the Kinks' most recent descendant is Blur. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think the Blur, because they were so weird and did so many different things, and Britpop.
The harmony. The harmony and the chorus.
It's like a movie soundtrack.
It is.
You just want to tell a story behind that song.
Yeah.
How high up in the 500? I mean, you know, we always hold ourselves. You know, it's interesting. I was listening to a interview with Eddie Trunk, and I can't remember who he was talking to, but they were talking about the intractability of the classic rock playlist on radio stations, and I actually started feeling like, what we really need to do more is find the lost gems that we need to listen to more than. But we do that. That's what we've always done with this episode. Yeah, in our foreign episode, we brought up songs that nobody's ever heard.
Like Star Rider.
Yeah, Star Rider. So
I recorded a video of me playing Fool For You Anyways after that, which at some point I'm going to put my.
I love that you're thinking outside of the sales listenability box and pulling up a song like that, because it's a great song that more people need to hear and need to know that the Kinks aren't just what you've heard on the radio. They're also this sort of artist. And I would, you know, we could play the whole song for you, but you know what, folks? Play it off of Spotify. Strangers is off of
Lola versus Power Man and the Money Ground.
That is a title.
That is a
title. Oh, wait, part one.
Part one.
That's right.
Part one. Part one.
They had, how many albums did they have that were part ones? They had at least two. They had at least.
Two. Lola versus Power Man and the Money Goes.
She said that. You don't need to mansplain the title to her.
I thought you said Lola
versus Power Man. You said mansplain. I'm going to use that on him from now on.
I didn't think that. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I haven't never heard that.
That's when men say, actually.
No,
oh, please. There's no mansplaining in this house. My wife knows way more than I do about everything.
Ooh. It's true.
So it's Strangers, like off the beaten path in the not an airplay song, but a lost gem. So
here's what you got to do, Thomas.
Where around should we
go? You don't even have to think about where around you want to put it right now. What I want you to do is, folks, this is where this game is about to get real.
Yep.
You have to pick one of the 500 songs that you can find. So if you're playing along at home for some reason,
I got it.
At classicrockcanon.wordpress.com, we posted this list that we did not make. This list was picked from the ether. No, this list was picked from the 500 most requested songs of a classic rock radio station. Tom, what are you suggesting to cut in place of this song, Strangers, by the Kinks?
How far up should I go on this list of stuff I have?
Just pick one. We're going to shoot you down.
First thing first, Still of the Night by Whitesnake, number 446.
Now, okay, time out. Why?
Yeah, because I don't agree with that one. Because
it's not a good song. And it's not a classic rock song. It's an 80s hard rock song.
Whitesnake on this list at all?
Multiple times. Multiple times.
Still of the Night's a good song. That song kind of influenced me into getting into more rock when I heard it.
Okay, can I sell you on Over the Mountain by Ozzy Osbourne?
No,
okay, but can I sell you on... And this does not deserve to be as high as it is, even if it were going to stay on this list. 78, Enter Sandman by Metallica. No.
But that's a classic.
It's
song.
Not classic to me. To me, Fade to Black's classic. To me, Sanitarium's classic.
Okay.
Master of Puppets
is
classic.
We will probably not do a Metallica episode for a long, long time because they're not something that I'm passionate about. But I have to admit, guys, send me hate mail if you want to at crcpod@gmail.com. I'm a Black Album Load Reload Metallica fan. The Master of Puppets and the Kill 'Em All and the early stuff, that's not my thing. I think they were fantastic when they're doing Give Me Fuel, Give Me Fire, Give Me That Which I Desire. I think they're fantastic when they're doing, oh my God.
We finally guys, severely disagree.
Just pulled out a knife. Oh my God, I may not, if I don't survive this podcast, right. please.
In honor of that, can I put up Cuts Like a Knife by Brian Adams?
I was just going to say that, oh my God.
We can do that. That's fine.
Sorry, did I pique your audio by slamming the table?
It actually went up into the, it went from beyond.
We were very excited.
I was so excited because that was my pun. I was going to do that. And I was looking to see if that was on my list.
I'm going to now come over to your house and wake your children up. So.
Sorry, I got very excited.
That was passionate, Lori. Oh, that was passionate.
Because it was a pun, not because of the song.
Yeah.
But I, you know.
Yeah.
Can I throw out a song I want to be off this list completely?
Well, first you have to suggest a song. Like, we like to start with the positivity, folks. And my voice is getting distant because I'm getting beers right.
Oh, I'm you know what? I'll back up.
I mean,
you got me fueled now with the whole Metallica speech.
Was that speech, really?
Or comment.
We can all agree. The Unforgiven by Metallica.
I think that can go too because it's not classic to me. Yeah. But to Mike, maybe.
I'm going to come back to the microphone and speak my mind on Metallica. We're going to go
up in this. Do you really like Still of the Night by Whitesnake?
I do. That, I do too. That's a keeper.
I think it's got so many
it's
great
got
riffs
David Coverdale-y. It's
got so many great riffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 80s glam metal.
I'm a rock guy.
I'm ready to take off all these 80s glam rock.
Well, one of the ones that I selected to say, oh, you know what, though? I'm not going to get that until I recommend a song. You guys suggested Cuts Like a Knife by Brian Adams, which I don't disagree. I'm a huge early Brian Adams fan. The first cover
Same
band
here.
I was in, I played Brian Adams songs. Love the guy. I don't like that song.
I don't like that song, and I don't think it's a...
It's not a classic rock.
It's not a classic rock song either.
So I'd be okay with you cutting that.
Agreed.
Say 4, 5, 6, 7... I'm sorry, folks. There's a lot of people in the room. 8, 9... Cuts Like a Knife by Brian Adams... Sorry, dude. We like you. We like your work. Just not that song. So we're going to put Strangers by the Kinks in that spot.
So that would be currently at 321.
321, that's fair.
I think that's actually fair. About the right spot for us.
I mean, Lola's at 335, which would be higher because God knows. It's probably the most successful song of that era about transvestitism.
It blew Arnold Lane out of the water. It's about cross-dressing. It's about stealing clothes... From laundry lines and putting on
women's
clothing.
Yeah, but that's like early Pink Floyd. That could be about anything.
Yeah, it's true.
In the mind of Sid.
There was a lot of acid going on.
Like, I ride a bike.
But it's so good. I love the bike song.
Oh, no. I'm a big Sid Barrett fan.
I work out to it.
I'm a big Sid Barrett fan.
Two songs that we've added so far. We've got room for 8 more, folks. And we're only halfway through the episode. So,
all right.
Not to mention edits.
So, who?
Is it or won't you pick one next?
Pick one to add?
We'll go around the room to pick one. Well, when you pick one to add, you have to pick one to cut.
Okay, I've got both.
That's perfect. Let's do it.
Nothing in the World Can Stop Me Worrying About That Girl by the Kinks.
Uh-huh.
Love that song. And I think we should take off... well, you just disagreed with Unforgiven by Metallica. Did you?
I didn't disagree with Unforgiven. I was explaining why I like certain areas of Metallica more than others because I'm a rock guy more than metal guy.
What do we think of that song?
The Kinks song?
Both.
Well, Tom, why don't you play us a sample of the Kinks song, and we'll play that so everyone is on the same page with it, because I have to admit, I'm not as familiar with it as I should be.
I'm going to pedal in to...
It's on the Rushmore soundtrack, too.
There's nothing in this world to stop me worrying about that girl. I found out I was wrong. She was just too tired.
Beautiful. I could sit here and listen to this whole song and fill this whole podcast up with just listening to the Kinks song, but we get shut down for copyright infringement, so we're not going to do that. That is a wonderful song, and I think it deserves to be listened to by more people, and that's really what the goal of this podcast is.
Sure.
So, folks... Isidore, please once again tell us that lengthy short story of a title.
Nothing in the World Can Stop Me Worrying About That Girl.
And that's from the album?
Kinda Kinks. It's just called Kinda Kinks.
Oh, it is? Okay.
It's on their second.
On the Rushmore soundtrack, which if you're not familiar with, you should all listen to it.
Their soundtrack work, by the way, the number of people who've put them on soundtracks or commercials or whatever, it's actually, you could actually just do the list of those.
Did you say the song you would cut? You said Unforgiven, and I said...
I mean, I have others, but, you know, Unforgiven by Metallica is on that list.
I think, you know, Unforgiven I would only defend in the fact that it gets heavy airplay, but I don't think that that's a defense anymore. I think yeah. that's actually... it's not one of their strongest or more interesting... Even to me, who likes their rock stuff over their yeah. metal stuff, it's not one of their more interesting tracks, so... Bye.
Yeah. Well, okay then.
What number was Unforgiven? I could
411.
411. Okay, so anything in the 400s, I'm, you know, it's yeah. hard to defend the 400s, except for when Tom talks about Cutting Over the Mountain by Ozzy Osbourne, which is absolutely my favorite Ozzy song.
Wow.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Flying High Again is my favorite Ozzy song, but Over the Mountain's number two. Then Crazy Train.
That's a good song.
Then Revelation, Mother Earth. Lori, your turn. Give us a Kinks okay. song you want to add to this list of Kinks.
Well, I have... quite a few.
Well, just give us one.
Okay.
You'll get another turn. Don't
I'm
worry.
I'm going to go with I'm Not Like Everybody Else.
And what album is that off?
The Kink Controversy.
That's their third album.
And that was also covered by the Chocolate Watch Band, which I'm sure nobody else is familiar with. But...
That's a Nuggets Band. That's a
cool name.
To make this dream of yours come true.
Okay,
you're here to tell me.
I would like to get rid of David Essex Rock On, because I hate that song.
It's funny, I have that highlighted as well, because I don't know how.
And who the hell is David Essex? Have we heard anything else from him?
Certainly.
Why don't you play that?
Rock On by David Essex.
Mm-hmm. And don't play the Michael Damian, the soap star version from the 80s.
It wasn't any better.
No, it's the same song when they were but I hate
hey
that song.
Hey kids, rock and roll. There's a severe shortage of T-Rex on this list.
There is.
Oh, yeah.
And this
okay,
is...
that makes me mad too.
Well, no, it makes
But it's like they're in the Bowie-esque like, oh, and by the way, Bowie was quoted by saying like he never met a Kinks song he didn't like. He loved loved the Kinks, and I think we're doing him an honor by doing the Kinks today.
So, folks, if you're listening to this at home, if you clicked on something called Classic Rock Canon Podcast, you already know this song. And you have an opinion about it. You know what, if you're tubing down the river and it's 100 degrees and you're drinking six beers, it's probably pretty fun when it comes on.
It's a cool, moody song.
That's why I like it. I'm from Arizona.
Well, that's why I like it, because I'm from Central Texas, where we used to do that sort of thing. Yeah. But it's, I could see cutting it. I could see cutting it to make room for a Kinks song.
Yeah, to make room for a song that people should hear, like I'm not like everybody else.
I'm going to...
Concur.
My first Kinks song that I'm going to recommend, and I won't recommend many, is much more mainstream than the ones you guys have chosen, but by design, because Destroyer, as I mentioned earlier, is the song that introduced me to the Kinks, and just... musical crack to me. I cannot not listen to this song all the way through. I know how to play it, I know how to sing it, I know every riff, I know every note. Here comes everywhere! Stop!
It's a cool song.
Oh, it's a great song.
Stay in control. So this shows the range of the material these guys put out over the years. I have a song that actually comes after this chronologically, so this is not their last great song, although it's getting up there. But this is the most infectious song. Folks, if you don't like this song, I don't know what to tell you. I just don't know what to tell you. It is every... The lyrics... Come on, you just want to go break shit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make this real easy on everybody by suggesting the song to cut in its place is Against the Wind by Bob Seger, who I love. Listen, I grew up in Detroit in the 70s. I love Bob Seger. Against the Wind does not belong in a list of anything except car commercials. Oh my God, Isidore, why are you pulling that face? You're going to wreck it.
What? You can't cut that.
Against the Wind?
No.
Wow. That's the only...
It's kind of like sacred ground, Mike.
Listen, I have a much deeper, longer relationship with Bob Seger than most people, but that song can go fuck. Okay, you know what? I'll respect your wishes, though, because this is a democracy.
Yep.
Listen, the Congress may not work. This podcast works. I'm going to cut Wonderful Tonight by Eric Clapton.
I have that on my classic.
I'm going to say, yeah, cut it.
Oh, but that's everybody's prom theme.
Oh my
that's
God.
The problem. It doesn't belong on that.
Thank God I graduated from high school before that song came out.
That's a good one. To, what,
we got
369.
What
369.
Number was David?
You guys, don't worry. The algorithm takes care of all that. The whiteboard.
Yeah.
The
Wonderful Tonight, Eric Clapton,
oh,
369.
It's
a fine little piece of songwriting, but it's not classic rock.
And you know,
and
we're going to eventually have to address how much I dislike Eric Clapton on this podcast, and that's going to lose me a lot of fans. I'm going to lose, of our two listeners, I'm going to lose at least one and a half. But
my mom will not listen
anymore. Destroyer. Like I said earlier in the podcast, and I hate to repeat myself like a broken record, but it's what I do, and it's worked so far. Was one of those songs that came out when I was at that formative age between 11 and 12 and 13, and was mowing lawns and listening to it and getting interested in rock and roll, and I just bought my first guitar, and it will never not be one of my favorite songs of all time. So I'm going to leave it at that. We're all in agreement that it belongs in the canon. The fact that no one called in to request that song of these 500 songs that... Some program directors,
yeah,
I guess,
plans people are
cannot name out of copyright infringement, didn't bother to put on the list, and they put in, Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
Yeah,
fine, that's okay.
See, I want to say we have to add Waterloo Sunset.
It's that's on my list.
I think it's probably on everybody's
but
list.
But I think it is. But at the same time, I also think. We have to have All Day and All the Night on there.
Well,
I have that.
You know what?
Too,
look, should we compare notes?
Well, All Day and All the Night, like, if you have You Really Got Me, All Day and All the Night, like, you could argue that those are the same.
But they're
kind
both
of
wildly influential.
Yes.
I mean, punk, you know, everyone looks for the origin of punk, and I'm not going to say the Kinks are the origin of punk, but there is so much of what all those bands did in these early Kinks, in those early Kinks.
Oh, they're a great part
they,
of it, yeah. Yeah.
That, you know, the power chord riff. No one else was doing it.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't the Who was doing it, but in a different way. The Beatles weren't doing it. The Rolling Stones weren't doing it. But guitarists know what I'm talking about. You guitarists know what I'm talking about. The power chord riff.
And I actually probably like that song better than You Really Got Me, but I feel like they're both a similar kind
there's,
of vibe.
I think
you do
the reason we like, I think the reason we wanted to put You Really Got Me so high was because Van Halen got so much mileage out of it.
Yeah. Right.
And Van Halen wouldn't, yes, they would still exist and still be famous without the Kinks covers.
But those are long.
But that helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That helped a lot.
Much,
And Van Halen, by the way, those of you listening at home probably already know Van Halen is my number one of all time in classic rock. So it's not easy for me to say, take a Van Halen song off the list.
But circling back, the irony is that it launched, playing the Kinks song helped launch Van Halen into the stratosphere they got into.
Right.
But also then it turned around much like the Pretenders doing a cover of theirs, and it helped launch the Kinks into arenas.
But those songs become the version.
Yeah.
You know, when you're programming a classic rock station, you're not gonna play Stop Your Sobbing by the Kinks, you're gonna play it by the Pretenders because it's a great version. I mean there's it's but there's such an energy that You Really Got Me that didn't exist in 1963 or 4 when it was recorded. Tom, why don't you give us another
I mean, that's what I meant. Should I say All Day and All the Night?
If you want to take it, otherwise, I'll take that grenade because it's on my list as well. Mm-hmm. If you want to get something more interesting.
I have a good Waterloo Sunset story.
Okay, then I'll leave that for you.
Okay.
Then I will say, I really do love Picture Book, and it's a super fun song to play.
Yeah, it's become super popular over the years.
It has, and it, and the commercial and everything. So, it's so good. I mean,
Picture Book?
It just starts off on fire.
Isn't that what you recommend? No, you recommend.
Did you try
to get that in your movie, that song?
No, I was trying to get all of it on time in my movie.
It's so happy.
It's great.
It's such a fun song to play, by the way. And this would be a good time to mention the fact that the brothers get all the well-deserved respect for this band, but the rhythm section, especially on Village Green, that's some of my favorite bass playing and drumming.
They had a lot of personnel changes, but their core
at this point
remained pretty standard.
At this point, it was still the same.
But if you look at the Wikipedia timeline, there's a lot of little chunks of people coming in and out, but there's a lot of long lines of bass and drums.
Well, the bass player left...
Quiffy.
Yeah, he left because he had, he was going to have a nervous breakdown too or something like that. I forget what it was. It was like another...
Sid Barrett. Yeah. Sid Barrett.
But, you know, Ray Davies had to get hospitalized as well for a nervous breakdown at some point.
And then oddly launched them into their most fertile creative period of music making.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I'll nominate picture book.
What are you going to cut? It's always more interesting to hear what you're going to cut.
Apparently, I have controversial cuts. Can we cut Smoking in the Boys' Room by Motley Crue?
Yeah, that's a cover. I mean, yeah.
We can cut that. That's safe.
If we want to keep it on there, let's switch it to the original version from the 70s. But I wouldn't either. I'm saying, I think we can all agree, Smoking in the Boys' Room does not necessarily...
It's a fun song, but it's just a fun song.
I'd rather have Picture Book on there than Smoking in the Boys.
Oh, yeah. No one's gonna piss fight you over that one.
All right.
And I like 389. Motley Crue a lot. I think Motley Crue's great.
This one, Isidore loves the Motley Crue.
You know that calling a person this one is not a way to engender yourself.
Again.
It's okay.
I guess I'm mansplaining.
Pet me now.
Yeah. You gotta do it with like a Yiddish accent. This one over here.
I know what he means. It's from love.
I know. It's from love. So Isidore, from that place of love, bring us up to number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Victoria.
Nice. That's the only one I was going to say. Which we should say happy birthday to Victoria.
My mother.
Her mother.
Today is her birthday.
It's her birthday today.
Victoria.
And so we just played it on the ride over.
It's a wonderful
song.
Well written.
Mm-hmm. Fun guitar riffies.
It's amazing how much stuff these guys do. Oh, really making a blip on the sales radar. I mean, you just look at this whole era of music.
So good!
That's such a good song. It's a great song. There's a good live version of this, too.
This is what is going through Andy Partridge's head for the first 5 XTC records.
I love
that's funny. It's true.
I love the chorus, obviously. I love the way they phrase this part.
Victoria!
Victoria!
Whatever fits the scan.
Right. It's so great.
It's funny because I listened to the greatest, several greatest hits collections, and I played most of the discography before we did this, but for some reason, just right now, just hearing that reminded me, just clicked how much that sounds like XTC, which is one of my favorite bands.
It's a great band.
So
I bet there's an influence there, too.
Oh, deeply. Isidore, you now need to run the gauntlet of cutting a song.
Okay, have we cut Kenny Wayne Shepherd's Blue on Black?
We haven't, and the only reason I didn't pick on him is because it's his only song in the 5.
Yeah. I'm going to pick on him because that doesn't need to be on there.
I don't disagree. I saw him open for Van Halen this year.
They're very good.
He's a great guitar player, but he's not... He's one of those guys that does what he does really well, but he doesn't bring anything new or inventive to it. And I wouldn't cry if he was cut, but I felt bad for the fact that there was the one song. It's like...
I think it's fine.
It kind of makes it even more pathetic, though. You know, it's like, oh, here's your one song.
To pity him?
No, but there's a lot of bands on here that have a lot of songs.
But they probably deserve to be on there.
Not all of them.
Kenny Wayne Shepherd, I don't think, when I hear Blue on Black, I don't think this is quintessential classic rock.
Yeah. Right? No, I don't either.
That's a 90s song.
It's a great song. I like that song, but...
That is a 90s song, right?
Yes.
That opens the door if we're having 90s... blues rock songs, why can't we have 90s Nirvana songs?
Stevie Ray Vaughan all over the place.
That's an upcoming episode.
Pearl Jam.
Stevie Ray Vaughan is represented fairly well on this list, and I think we could do an episode on him and get him more well represented. And folks, if you're listening to this, I linked on my Facebook, although you don't follow me on Facebook, a video of a very quote-unquote rare, really, although there's no such thing as rare video on YouTube, of David Bowie rehearsing with the Sirius Moonlight Tour. Is it the Sirius Moonlight Tour? No, the Let's Dance Tour.
Yeah, Let's Dance Tour.
And they were doing Gene Genie with Stevie Ray Vaughan on guitar before Stevie Ray Vaughan quit. And it is un-fucking believable.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing. Mind officially blown when you watch it.
So if you want to look that up, it's Bowie and Stevie Ray Vaughan doing Gene Genie on the tour that didn't happen because Stevie Ray just didn't feel like going in that direction. But I think that we all agree Kenny Wade Shepherd's I mean, you've talked me into it. I felt bad about cutting someone with only one song in the 500. Sure. there's so many that more than five than one song that I thought.
Except for David Essex, he only had one song.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Yeah, but that's not what that was such a, she didn't such a weird that. Pick in the also, first place.
Yeah.
Look out, Ram Jam, you're next.
Don't you dare take that song off.
I have to say,
he hates it for a weird reason.
Well,
it,
tell
I mean,
it if you don't mind. You want to share?
Classic rock, though.
Share your reason.
Well, we're not cutting it, though. We're just talking about it.
No, I hate that song because it was classic rock radio stuff, and it's like it was an annoying song.
The football workout?
Yeah, well, I mean,
you were stuck listening to
said,
it
yeah,
every
like,
day in
like
high school?
Basically, yeah, there was post
oh, okay.
Like my workout.
Would have been a bad
my,
story
yeah,
there.
I think I've talked about it. We'd have to do weightlifting after practice or before practice or whatever, and they'd play the classic rock station, and literally, like, associated with the pain and sweat and all that stuff of working out, all that stuff shut up.
We now have to cover this.
Yeah.
I now have to get the misprints to cover this.
That's pretty funny.
Please do.
So.
Oh, I was just really loud. Sorry.
That's okay. That is so far 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Lori, will you give us a 7th? Of 10
well,
Kink songs. No one has shut down a Kink song yet.
That's
magical.
Yeah, well, they're all so good.
They are magical.
Literally, we're just going to be like, oh, I wish we'd gotten this and wish we'd gotten that.
I'm going to say Waterloo Sunset. I know we talked about it before that, and like Shangri-La hold a special place in my heart, but Waterloo Sunset in particular, I have a good story that goes with it. I was on my honeymoon with Bill Elberg, who is not here tonight, and we went to London and Paris, and I had never been, and I'm a huge British rock fan. And, you know, we got to Waterloo Station, and I was so excited. And I was like, and because the sun was going down,
oh, nice.
And I was like, oh my God, Bill, it's a Waterloo sunset at Waterloo Station. And then I fell down the stairs.
What?
And... as much as I love the Kinks, the Beatles are my first love. Because I fell down the steps at Waterloo Sunset, my picture at Abbey Road has me limping across the street.
Oh, how did you fall?
Because
stage?
I wasn't paying. I was like, look, a Waterloo Sunset. Yeah, and how did I fall? Because I am me. That's just what I do.
Oh,
like
no.
Gravity and, you know.
Lori, you should know, is 6'7". And,
in a wheelchair. No, that's terrible.
She has huge feet.
I don't think anyone's going to argue with Waterloo Sunset. I'm actually surprised you picked such kind of a well-known song, and that's usually my job on this podcast, but I appreciate that because it's a beautiful
it's
song.
It's a beautiful song.
There's
it's
like,
the nostalgia again. And
again, total nostalgia.
Visual.
And there's a, I think on the Wikipedia page for it, there's like different quotes of people saying, the most beautiful song ever written, most beautiful words by an English poet of all times. Like, I mean, everything like that. It's like, okay, we get it. It's really good.
So, Laura, you now have the unenviable task of finding one song out of 500
okay.
to cut.
So, my philosophy with this list to cut is, like, if you have a band that has a lot of songs, you could kind of, you don't need all of them, and I want to go with George Thorogood, one of his songs.
I like where this is going.
Me too.
I'd be fine with cutting any of them, but my hunch is I Drink Alone.
I'm not a big fan of him because he's so that 3-hit wonder and 2 of them were covers, but that's the one I really like.
That's the one I like too.
Then, I mean, I can take, like, I just don't think there needs to be, what is there, 3 on here?
I think there's 3.
And they're all the same
Bo Diddley riff and the slide guitar.
Yeah,
it's
like,
fine.
Who Do You Love? Because when I was, you know, 14, I used to dance around my basement to that
song.
Yeah,
but shouldn't it be the original rather than the cover?
I didn't know the original back then. I was 14.
No, I know. But you now do. You're not 14. She's not 14 anymore, folks. She's 6'7" and she's in her 30s.
I'm actually
in her 20s.
It's a podcast. You can see anything you want.
Okay. I don't remember how old I am anymore. So.
Very good. Why can't you put more Thorogoods in here?
Yeah. I mean, because
so it's Who Do You Love? I Drink Alone.
And
there's
another Moving On Over.
Moving on over is Moving On Over is his.
Oh, there's Bad to the Bone.
Bad to the Bone
is on here. Okay.
Is there one bourbon, one scotch, one
beer?
That's
I would get
that's a
that
better
one
song.
Too.
Yeah. So Get Rid of Who Do You
is,
Love?
I think his original, and I think it's probably, but
Camden, New Jersey.
But Moving
Camden,
On Over is,
London.
I think, an original of his, and I think it's a
Bad to the Bones is kind
of Bad to the Bones has become so corny. It's that it's the
that's
thing
a
that
song
people
I'm
put the black about. The black wayfarers on. All of a sudden they're a badass.
And it should be
it's
at number 120.
It really is.
You know, that's good.
It is listed at 120 on this list.
That's crazy.
I mean, you know, it's. If we want to say certain things are iconic riffs and they should go in the Hall of Fame, like we said about Hot Blooded,
kind of...
Bad to the Bone is an iconic riff,
yeah.
For good or for ill.
Yeah. Conjures up the image of the nerd putting the black wayfarers on and all of a sudden being a badass and you're so I guess, that's not his riff, though.
Do we love Who Do You Love?
Well, give it to Bo Diddley. I mean, isn't that his
yeah,
song?
Yeah, yeah.
But
I Drink Alone's kind of a sexy, cool. I like that song.
Such a woodshedding on George Thurgood.
But the one you just mentioned,
I have a greatest hits, and that's all he's good for.
Who Do You Love? I could do without it.
Argue,
I could do without Who Do You Love.
Okay.
But it's you know, this is a.
I'm with Laurie.
You know what?
I'm going to time out.
I'm going to call a podcast recorder authority. I'm not going to let you cut a George Thurgood song.
Okay.
Cut a different song.
Okay. you're not going to like me then.
I've liked you for 15 years.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I think we need to cut an Aerosmith song. And
I think we're all on the same page with this.
You know, Living on the Edge.
That was the one I picked. Let's get rid of Ragdoll because I think that song.
Is that the one?
I had Living on the Edge, but.
I have Living on the Edge too. By the way, on the cut list.
Yeah.
The only thing with Living on the Edge, and it means a product of when I was listening to Aerosmith. I was part of like the post-revival Aerosmith is what I knew first. Everyone I know knows the whole like first verse to Living on the Edge without even knowing
Rag
it.
Doll,
is that the one that says
something wrong in the world?
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah. Everyone knows that first verse. Like you don't even know
something
you know it, but you'll start to...
And the intention is good.
Yeah. Yeah, and God knows it.
No, I would rather you cut Ragdoll.
Yeah,
Ragdoll.
Yeah.
Because Ragdoll's got that weird vaudeville. Ragdoll, there's real cute.
That song annoys the crap out of me.
And then
it's sexualizing
this
little...
Come on up,
yeah.
It sounds like a dirty old man.
It is a dirty old man song. And
as much as I like Aerosmith, and I like them up to Permanent Vacation, I'm not going to pretend I don't. And I like Jaded. I think that's a great song from their later second half of their career.
They have
hits because they deserve
it.
Undeniable.
Yeah.
Great.
Word up.
Do we not have this So Tired on there already?
No.
This doesn't even need an introduction.
It's important.
Tom just making this smirk like, what are you going to do now? Your move, Sam.
I mean, I'm just saying, that's what I'm saying. Like, we still don't have some of this.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Why did we live in the 10s?
Yeah, they have a lot of old songs that are so before their time.
Yeah.
And we don't have the dedicated follower of fashion.
Or well-respected man. Yeah.
Afternoon.
The Village Presser Green Preservation.
Yeah. Right. I know, but you know what? The Rolling Stones have 14 songs, and the Beatles have 12 songs, and Pink Floyd has 15 songs. Nobody has 20 songs.
But you know, had they been able to stay in the loop back in 65, I bet you they would be more...
Pink Floyd's
they
run
would be
was
more
as long as the Kinks. The Stones weren't. I mean, the Beatles weren't, but the Stones certainly, you know, they put up Start Me Up at the same time as Destroyer. The Kinks clearly deserve... Okay, you know what? Executive decision. We can go to 12. Go to 12 songs for the Kinks.
That's
why
fair.
Not?
That's fair.
All right, cool.
Great.
Okay, so I'm going to nominate to take off at number 208.
Uh-huh. Wait, hold on. Let me look this.
Can't drive 55 by Sammy Hagar and get the fuck off my list. I can get the fuck off my list.
I kind of feel like it's earned its position.
I'm with you, Tom.
It's not a good song.
Where I don't think it's a good song, but it's so well known. And I'm with you on that.
I just don't like that song. I don't think it adds anything.
It doesn't bring anything to the table.
It doesn't. It doesn't. It's kind of empty.
If you're time capsuling this world, would you rather have Tired of Waiting or I Can't Drive 55 as your example of what...
It depends on who you are.
You're right. And I'm me. And I'm going to say...
That's not... I would never call in to hear that song, but there's a certain...
Yeah.
Type of person that would.
There's also, when that song comes on...
Yeah, Red State Rockers, exactly.
When that song comes on, I'm not like, yes, I can't drive 55. Like, I'm not.
No, but I know a lot of people that are.
Like, the energy is great. And the...
Nobody, I'm friends. No, I'm no.
Now, take, for example, a song like that I think is fantastic, but I don't consider classic rock, like Salisbury Hill by Peter Gabriel, which is at 393 or 393. Beautiful song.
Sure.
Is it a classic rock song, or is it just a pop song?
That hurt me a little bit.
What do you, how, why?
I have a special connection
with
Peter
Gabriel.
Who
does have this allowed on the list of Wonderful Tonight?
That influenced me when I was younger, though, into music.
There are
like,
music,
great deal.
There are millions of songs that introduced me to music that aren't on this list because they don't belong on this list.
I think I'd rather have Salisbury Hill
on here at all.
On there than I Can't Drive 55.
Okay, well, that's why we have these discussions rather than me just hosting a podcast by myself.
But I see your point. I see your point with the Peter Gabriel thing. And that song, and is it classic rock? I get it. But then that means that, does that mean I Can't Drive 55 is a classic rock?
That's a classic
song?
It's a very, I think that's very much a classic rock song, even though it came out towards the tail end of what's considered the era of it. It's kind of a mid-80s rather than a 70s or early 80s. Kind
okay,
of.
Then but, can I go by the same singer? And just say Dreams by Van Halen.
You can cut that any day of the week.
Okay.
If you want to cut anything from that is not a rock song by Van Halen, you are more than welcome to.
Okay, then let's do that.
Okay.
that was funny how where that went.
Well, I was like, oh wait, Sammy Hagar, Dreams, that's a kind of piece of garbage by a band that we all like, but that's not the one.
Well, we like Van Halen a lot, but jeez.
We get higher and higher.
Well, that's really good.
Thank you.
Folks, he's
keep going.
He doesn't have a band right now. Hire him.
You can hire him.
Isidore is so mad at me right now for the Salisbury Hill crap.
I'm trying not to be. I'm like...
But, I mean, the argument you made with Wonderful Tonight, that's kind of a ballady thing.
Oh, Salisbury Hill is not that in comparison.
But that's why I cut it.
No, I know, but I mean, if you go with the...
Well, I don't think Peter Gabriel is classic rock. I mean, if he is, where's Sledgehammer? Where's...
Salisbury Hill is special.
It is special.
But that's not
there are millions of special songs, though. There's millions of special songs by artists from time immemorial that aren't on this list because they don't fit the...
Agreed.
So, at the outset, we said we're going to add 10 Kinks songs, but I think the vibe is that the Kinks deserve a lot more than 10 songs out of 500. So, heck, since we make the rules, let's break the rules. What I always say... Isidore, it is on you. Would you like to add another Kinks song, or would you like to pass your turn and no whammies, big money?
Oh, no way. I'm not passing. a well-respected man is my next choice.
I thought she was going to say Harry Ragg, but she said a well-respected man.
Harry Ragg?
Yeah, Harry Ragg of Arthur.
Oh.
Good track, Harry.
I didn't have that on my list.
I
though.
Know, no one would. It's just one of those nuggets. Are you going to give us a clip of Well-Respected Man, or are you going to leave us hanging here?
Yeah, it's on here. I have it. I have it ready for action.
Tears of a Clown. This is so iconic.
Yeah.
It's also that vaudeville vibe, too.
But in a good way. It's a music hall in England, is what it's called. It's the McCartney.
Don't shoot by the teeth.
So much. So much of this era, this Baroque era, sounds like. First of all, I'm a huge Harry Nilsson fan.
Sure.
And Nilsson has so much of that vibe going of a lot of the stuff they did, but also the Monkees. Like that could have been a Monkees song. Granted, they wouldn't have written it, but it would have been something they would have recorded. And I love it. I can't not.
It also, it kind of reminds, it's like, it's that era of, like, British fashion, too, is very important.
The Carnaby Street.
Like, I picture somebody in a striped blazer with, like, a, you know, a tie or an ascot or something, and it's, like, the dandy style.
Oh, yeah.
This just made me think of it because you brought it up. Would you say that the Kinks are kind of the quintessential British band, or do you say...
They're very British, like you know.
It's hard to, like the Rolling Stones try to be American. Right.
Yeah. Are they specifically the quintessential English?
I think they're the quintessential British songwriting band.
Okay.
Like they write songs about things about the
life. There's a lot of
tea.
There's a lot of cups of tea.
I mean, the Beatles do too. I mean, we can't. The Kinks probably, if the Beatles didn't exist, the Kinks would probably be the Beatles. I mean, that's maybe three beers in kind of a conversation
but
starter.
Even the Beatles tried to emulate American rock.
I agree with that.
Sure, and so did the Kinks on their first few records. And by the end, they weren't doing anything.
Which I still think is because they weren't allowed to play in America anymore, that they basically kind of stopped trying to write stuff that would be hits in America and just started writing about British
life. Well, they're certainly the most Brit, like what we consider in the 90s, Brit pop.
Yeah.
They certainly had the deepest influence on that.
I think they have a little bit more of a raw... They have a little bit more of a raw sound than the Beatles. They have a little more dirty grittiness to them than the Beatles.
They were putting
on
records.
They have George Martin.
Yeah,
they didn't have George Martin. They were putting out records not faster because the Beatles put out records.
But I also feel like they're more like the Beatles had Liverpool, which is very working class, and they were like I feel like they're more suburban,
a little rural.
Rural, yeah.
So well-respected man.
Yes.
But then what are we taking off the list?
Dun, 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 dun. Hot musical sting. Tommy Hot Takes.
It's me. Tommy Hot Takes.
Now, I don't know if Mike will agree with this.
Maybe.
Since he is a Motley Crue fan.
Oh, goodness gracious. Haven't we hit the hard enough already tonight?
Yeah, but Kickstart My Heart?
No, that's got to stay.
Really?
That's a good track. That's Mick Mars at his best.
Is that classic rock canon?
Yeah. Well,
material? I agree with you.
We're redefining the canon. Mick Mars is... probably the most underrated hard rock guitarist in the game. And that's one of his better songs. Like, if you had said Home Sweet Home, I'd be like, yes, that's not even a good I'm a Rock Star on the Road song.
See, but everybody knows that song, and
but let's get away from the everybody knows. I want to move away from the everybody
I
knows.
I like Home Sweet Home.
Oh.
A lot.
Okay, folks, we're going to settle this with a thumb wrestle. 1, 2, 3, 4, let's have a thumb war. She beat me.
Kickstart My Heart is kind of like,
if you said Girls, Girls, Girls...
That's a
classic song.
I like that song, too.
Oh, my God. Come On and Dance is the better stripper song than Girls, Girls.
See, but there's a feeling and an emotion attached to these songs, I guess, when I hear it. But Kickstart My Heart never gave me that, ever.
Would you like
though the guitar?
It's a song
amazing.
About being defibrillated. Would you like to feel what that feels like?
No, I don't. No.
I mean, I think... Can I offer you something maybe in
okay,
place?
Let's
can we
let's
have a hostage that. Exchange?
Okay. Let's hear it.
Let's cut to the negotiator.
I have other ones
what
if you're interested.
Well, I do too. Although
I want to hear yours.
Down. Well, mine are highlighted. You could just take this off. You know, we did. You know, Every Rose Has Its Thorn by Poison.
I'm with
pure
it.
Cheese.
Yeah, it's not very good.
And is Talk Dirty to Me on that list?
It is.
Okay, I like that song. So Every Rose Has Its Thorn, you can cut it.
She made a hand gesture of cutting someone's head off.
Talk Dirty to Me has a cool, fun
guitar.
It has a good guitar.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Every Rose Has Its Thorn. It's probably not a terrible song. I can probably find something worse.
It's an 8th grade dance.
How about this? I'm a big fan, huge fan of Guns N' Roses, but Patience is not classic rock canon.
No, yes it is. I've been walking the streets tonight. Just trying. I don't know why
I can think of it. I know.
Just trying to get it right.
That's one of those songs you have to
all of a sudden it's Harry
Connick
Jr.
Just for that, like, end part.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll cut that.
You gotta sway to that song. Yeah.
I will not swear.
What is really annoying about that song, though, is when you go out and watch the live stuff from back in the day, that Axl had to be such a bravado guy that when he's doing that song, he said, sitting here at the top of the stairs because I'd rather be alone. Bullshit. Like, into the microphone. Like,
I think that's why, honestly, I think that's why that song rubs me wrong, too, because it was never genuine. It's disingenuous.
Should we do GNR next? Since they're getting back together, at least three of them
that's
are getting
true.
Back together. Should we do them first?
And I love
Coachella. Yeah.
With a passion.
I'll say this. I love Appetite for Destruction with a passion. I can take or leave everything else they did.
I'm kind of with you, but then November Rain.
I like Use Your Illusion better than...
Use Your Illusion is what I meant.
Time Out for Destruction.
What?
Yeah. No, what? No.
Insert
better
needle
than
scratch after, sound effect.
Okay, you can't... see, you're just... Whatever.
He's being Tommy Hot Takes.
I think I should kick you under this round table.
What I like about Use Your Illusion is you can take Use Your Illusion, make it into a...
One good
cut album. It into one really good album.
I agree with that.
You can make it into three quarters of a good album.
Appetite for Destruction is a perfect album.
First of all, it's got
album.
Shannon Hoon on there, which makes it infinitely better than anything else.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
We're back into the whole wine melon issue, which I like. Don't get me wrong.
Love. Love Blind Melon.
I said I would listen to any album anyone named, and he turned me on to Blind Melon's second album. I listened to it. I thought it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I saw them right before that guy died with the Rolling Stones.
I was there when he died. The hell was that?
Did you defibrillate?
No.
Did you play Kickstart My Heart? That wasn't around yet.
I was just watching a movie.
What were they thinking? Sorry.
Bill and I were just flipping channels and watching this movie, and I was like, that girl looks really familiar, and it was the girl who played the Bee Girl.
What?
Oh.
Was in a movie called...
Is that Heather Marciano, or what's her name?
No.
Why did I think that?
Because she... Wiener Dog looks like the Bee Girl.
Wiener?
From Welcome to the Dollhouse.
Oh. Welcome to the
Dollhouse. They're making a sequel to that or something. That should be on the list, yeah.
That deserves to be on the canon.
That was shot near where I grew up, too. But
all right,
not
so
that podcast.
So we won't
take patience off. What's that?
Patience, we won't take it off. But
no, I said Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue.
You know what? I'm not going to let you do that. I'm sorry.
He's not letting me. So let me hear your suggestion, sir.
I suggested Every Rose Has Its Thorn. I got another Peter Gabriel. God damn it, you're going to kill me.
I will kill you.
Well, I love Peter Gabriel. You know what? I also love Elvis Costello.
I have one.
Go ahead, give it to me.
Robert Palmer, Bad Case of Loving You.
No, that's it.
I agree with you, and I see your point.
Here's one I'm going to.
These
throw
aren't
out
songs
there.
I necessarily like, but I feel like they have a place.
Yes,
I agree with Lori.
I'm going to throw out something I love. Shut up. I love Genesis. I'm going to throw out That's All because I don't think it's a classic rock song. I could say Day. You'd say night, and you would, Isadora, because you disagree with everything I say.
I'm not. I'm like, wrong see, when I say do you hear my brain thinking?
Right.
It's burning.
I'm gonna say, you know what makes That's All actually kind of a good song, though?
What? I could leave, but
yes, I won't
that's what it is.
Go. It'll be easier.
That's what makes
heavily influenced by the Kinks, so
yeah.
I probably should have.
Yeah.
It's hard to cut songs.
How about Red Hot Chili Peppers Under the Bridge? Because
that's not classic rock. But Salisbury Hill is.
Yeah,
Salisbury Hill's way before that.
Folks, she just grabbed me by the collar and is choking me.
Way before that. Let's leave Salisbury Hill alone for a minute.
Yeah, straight up timing of things. I think
Under the Bridge, really?
What,
90? Yeah, no, not even right.
The 90s is, I mean, we were just of that age when in the 90s.
Okay.
90s is a long time ago.
If we're burying
classic,
if we're burying the capsule, is Under the Bridge the important thing?
No, over Nirvana? No.
And I'm saying, I love that song.
You know what?
I got loud.
I'm sorry.
Wait,
getting loud. Because
I added.
And there's better chili.
We should have like a story sticker. Or something to pass
I don't even see that
print
on here.
Lori, you're gonna bring us on home.
It's 3:11.
Oh my God!
Is there any 3:11 on this list? You can cut those right away.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Andrew. Sorry. I dropped my papers. Yeah, they're out of order.
Oh. If there were, it'd be cut by me.
I dream a lot of things awesome. Know that we have always been down.
So we added Well-Respected Man in place of Under
the Bridge. Downtown. Sunset and Parkman. Lauren, would you like to add a Kink song, or would you like to pass your turn?
Well, I have a couple of them. I'm just deciding which one I would like to talk about.
Some of us have to wake up.
Celluloid Heroes.
Ooh. Nice.
I do like that song a lot. And I was playing it today at work for a long time. I don't know if it needs to be on the camera.
You need to go home. Stop playing this song.
But no, I mean, I agree. It's great to, I mean, especially since we're all in Hollywood and we walked down Hollywood Boulevard at some point.
Whether we wanted to or not.
But again, is it too ballady, maybe?
I still have a problem with ballady, but yeah, because it has the little bit of bite. It's got the nostalgia.
If you met someone who had never heard the Kinks before, and you said, "Here are 10 songs you need to listen to," would this be one of them? If yes, then go
I was gonna throw out 8-Man, but that's probably not a.
But it's a great song.
It's a great song.
And it's a great song. And it's people know it. People they'll hear it. They go, "Oh, I've heard this before."
Well, can I change mine to 8-Man then? I love this song.
Go with your feeling. Go
ahead. I just thought this was more of a discussion.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm...
This reminds me so much of like a Lou Reedish Bowie-esque song.
Yeah.
I love
this
song.
This song is really pretty.
It's talking about America. So.
Yeah. Folks, if you don't have the Kinks in your playlist,
in your rotation,
you really need to just dig in and just go for it. There's so much music there.
And that line about, you know, the some people you've loved and some people you've never heard of, that's that everyone who walks down Hollywood Boulevard has that moment. They're like, oh my god, it's this. And who is George Jones? George Jones, I said someone who's
George Jetson.
But yeah.
George Jetson does not have a star on the Walk of Fame, does he?
So, I should probably go back and re-listen to all this and make a list of the 12 songs we recommended for easy listening.
I love this song.
There are 12 and an asterisk. Great, man. I mean, this is so awesome. Who doesn't know this song?
I like the line about the vegetarian.
This is so good.
I wanted to put a plug, unsolicited, for my friend Gabriel's band, they have a band called Los Kinkos. It's all Latino guys who do covers of Kink songs.
It's so good. They're so good.
They're very good.
Let's do Los Kinkos.
Well, I mean, they've stopped playing as many shows.
When
did
they play next?
Next time they're playing again, we'll get it going.
They're really good. They dress like it and everything.
If you are in the Los Angeles area or anywhere in California where you might see Los Kinkos, I will be there. It's not the coffee shop. Yeah. It's a band.
That's why I love it too, because it's like,
but
they're Latino dudes. And
I think my next task is to go back for this podcast and listen and pull the 12 songs and make a definitive list and maybe put it at the beginning so you can hear it. But seriously, folks, if you are Kinks deficient, go back.
I was before this. I mean, I knew the Kinks, but
we all know the Kinks.
I didn't dive into a lot of stuff.
I certainly got a deeper appreciation.
Well, I mean, we also, you know, just scheduling wise, we've had quite some time to sit with this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And also the fact that it's not like listen to these 12 songs and decide which ones are good. It was more just like listen to everything the Kinks have ever done. But so it gave me an excuse. Yeah, what's a
huge
lot.
Homework assignment.
Yeah, I got my roommate into them completely now.
It's hard not to. But I hope that if we've done nothing else with this hour of your time, I hope we've inspired you to go back and listen to more of the Kinks.
Please do.
Enjoy, dig in. Find some. Listen, with 24 albums and 200 some odd songs, you're bound to find something you like. God knows the sales may not represent the influence that they had, but I think their influence, the shadow of the cast, is long and is important.
One of the most important in music history.
So listen, we're going to wrap up now. Thank you so much for listening to us. Once again, you can always contact us at Rock Cannon Pod on Twitter. That's Rock Cannon Pod on Twitter. ClassicRockCannon.wordpress.com or crcpodcast@gmail.com. You know how to send email. Next week, when we come back, we are going to do, I always like to do this to surprise everybody, my favorite part is looking at the looks on their faces. Next week, we're going to do Bob Seger and Silver Bullet Band, which are represented heavily on this list, but we will probably come up with more.
And I think Tom should sing the sound bites instead of playing them. Because
that is,
we'll do a good
that
Bob
is one
Seger.
Of my. That is one of my.
It's in the key of Tom.
He texts me about once a week. He texts me, woke last night to the sound of thunder. Just that's it. There's no other explanation. This is for Classic Rock Cannon Podcast. I'm Mike Samanek with
Tom Heller,
Isidore,
and Bori
Elberg.
Why, yes.
Record scratch sound effect. Our guest this week. Thank you so much for sitting in with us, Lori. We hope you come back for another episode. Probably on the Doors, since you love them so well. Oh, there are so many strong opinions.
I love
them
madly.
You love them madly. Take us home. We'll see you next week for the Bob Seger extravaganza.